Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review the truly wonderful Franciscan Estate Magnificat from Napa Valley in California. Further, an innocent potpourri is corrupted by the warped, depraved mind of the unlicensed, which takes the show in a direction it never intended to go. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
Warning, folks. The Wine Guy is feeling his oats, and we are the most irreverent wine podcast out there.
You mean...
Look out.
I will go online occasionally, on the internet, you know that.
The internet.
Yes, and there was this one group, I don't remember what they were called, you know, don't hurt their feelings, who fuck cares. But anyway, they go, you know, we sometimes will let a curse word slip while we sip. Like, you, fuck you, God. It's like, I said fiddlesticks when I was drinking.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, drat. Oh.
Tank on it.
Oh, cocksuck. Oh, shit.
Whoop.
Oh, fucker. What the hell, man? It's a podcast, asshole. Jesus Christ. What do you think? Children are listening to a wine podcast? Well, what the hell kind of kid is that?
Nobody's listening to us. So it doesn't fucking matter what the fuck we say.
Millions of listeners.
Millions.
Yes.
Million. Yeah.
Well, not quite a million, but we're close
to
that.
We'll get close.
We're getting close.
How many times did you listen to the show a day?
999,000. Why? What's your fucking point?
Well,
nevertheless, don't insult people. Anyway, they know who they are. Anyway, that was funny though. It's like sometimes I gotta get back to that. Sometimes we might let the curse word out when we're drinking. It's like, oh my gosh, you are so awesome. Yeah. And I never
would
want to.
It's very brave of you.
Never would want to drink with you, ever.
It would hurt my ears.
Oh my God, I'm sure it's a really great show. No, Rose Hayes, they have a lot of relevance into this wine culture. Fuck you. Anyway, on tonight's show, we have a wine from a wine producer that we're going to make fun of. But that's okay, because they deserve to be made fun of. However, they used to be good. What is this like? It's like the Rolling Stones, where they once were good. Although I've never been a Rolling Stones fan, but now they're just a bunch of cardboard cutouts that move around a little bit on stage. I mean, is that what it is?
Start me up.
They don't, but yeah. No, we're talking.
Dude,
yeah.
Mick Jagger can still get around, dude.
Yeah. Well.
You and Steve may think you're good dancers. He can still get off.
Okay. Nevertheless, on tonight's show, we have Franciscan on the show. We've had Franciscan on the show.
Not this Franciscan.
No, we've had their Cabernet-ish. We've had their Merlot, I believe. I don't know if that's aired when you've listened to this or not. We've had their Cabernet, one of their single vineyard Cabernets, actually, which was quite good.
Yeah.
That has aired. I know that. Did we have their Chardonnay? A Chardonnay? I don't know.
Chardonnay?
No, I don't think so.
Not Franciscan, we had France. No, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'm sure it tastes like shit anyway. But on tonight's show, we have something special.
A little departure, something different.
We have a Bordeaux blend by Franciscan, and it's their Magnificat blend. Now, you might say, Rob, I'm familiar with that blend, and it's not called Magnificat. You mispronounced it. And I said, fuck you. But
oats, feeling,
yes.
Very much.
But you also say, that's not a value-priced wine.
Not.
And I say, well, once again, fuck you. I'll drink what I want. But nevertheless, I did get this discounted. Does that count? Regularly, it's $55. I got it for $35. So I say I made $20 in the deal, I think. Nevertheless, Franciscan's like, where'd you buy that at $35? We would have bought that and then resold it for. You know. It's a winery that has come on some hard times, in my opinion. Not their opinion, because they're selling a lot of wine. But they used to have their base level as a Napa level wine. And we had had their Cabernet a few times recently and said, that doesn't taste like Napa. I mean, even Trefethen is better than that. And it turns out there was a little Monterey mixed in there, because now it says Napa and Monterey on their labels, which I would just say fuck it and just put California on the label. I wouldn't put but yeah, they did Napa and Monterey, which means they have like 3% Napa and 97% Monterey, probably.
But right.
This though
is not going to be that.
No, this is 100% Napa. This is a premium wine. And it's back from where they used to do, because they're a good winery. They used to make great wines. Not that they don't anymore. It's just that they don't make great wines in the lower ends or in the mid range. They're not doing well.
You could argue this is mid range. I mean, a lot of people wouldn't think that a $50 bottle of wine is a premium priced wine. Now, for most people, for our show, that's a premium priced wine.
Well, they have a reserve level, but they top out around $50-$60. This is their
top.
They're more. I mean, at the winery, you can buy more expensive things, but not a hell of a lot. I've always liked Magnificent when I've had it before, and I've had it multiple times because I've been to Franciscan.
You know, you never mentioned you've been to Franciscan before.
I've been to Franciscan.
You didn't, not on this episode.
And I've always enjoyed it, but I've had it probably three or four different times. Not this vintage, and not in the last three or four vintages that I can recall. Well, no, I had it at the winery, so that probably would have been a 2011 or 10.
Yeah, so current on this is probably the 15 or the 16?
I think it's the 16. This is the 13. I also have the 14 as well. So hopefully this is good, because I have quite a few of them. I splurged a little bit when they were $35. So
we'll find out.
I know. We're going to take a break. And then we're going to come back and have a good old damn time here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. When I'm out on the road, mayhem is everywhere. Mayhem doesn't care. But your local Allstate insurance agent, Craig Walters, does care. Are you in good hands? Are you in the good hands of Craig Walters Insurance Agency?
And if you're not, folks, please give Craig a call. His number is 740-862-4585. You can also meet him at his office at 107 North Main Street, Baltimore, Ohio. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call.
And we're back, folks. So the 2013 Franciscan Estates Magnificent. So, you know, this is 73% Cabernet, 24% Merlot, 2% Malbec, 1% Cab Franc. So a Bordeaux-style blend, however, in the Cab dominant style.
Yeah, most Bordeaux-style blends, this would be a little heavy on the Cab side.
Well, I mean, depends on the winery in France, but in California, it's atypical. Every winery that's in Napa has a Bordeaux style blend. I don't care if you're Schaefer or if you're
they're doing something.
If you're Chimney Rock, they have Élevage, which I also have. So all of them have a certain style. BV has Tapestry. You know, it just goes on and on and on. So all the contemporaries to this winery, although Schaefer probably doesn't like me suggesting they're a contemporary, but you know, I'm sorry, Schaefer. But nevertheless, and this also has some reviews, which is not surprising, I would think.
Yeah.
So we're going to start off with the lowest first, and it's actually, in my opinion, quite low.
In more ways than one.
The Wine Enthusiast.
Oh my lord!
They provided this wine 88 of their points, so a double snowman. And they wrote, all red Bordeaux varietals are represented in this blend. Well, not all of them, but that's okay. Except for Petit Verdot. Okay, they said, yeah, they threw that down there. I was going to say, except for Petit Verdot, and it's in the review. Together, they offer a simple tannic structure with that strengthens a chewiness of leather, tobacco, and a touch of cedar. Full body, it's a ripe, bold and brawny wine. Well, I think right there, if it's that, We give it a 92.
Hell yeah.
But then again, we aren't that particular. Next, Wilford Wong. He gave it a 90. And he wrote something that's completely opposite of everything else. He wrote, "The 13 Franciscan Estate Magnificent is all about red fruit and elegance. This wine's medium body and lively presence make it an excellent choice with lighter meats. Drinks well now." But it's completely different. They just said it was big, bold, and brawny, and this he's saying is medium and elegant.
And God. He almost always he writes reviews like he's never drank the wine.
Wines and Spirits, 91. Mostly Cabernet. This blend improves marketably with air. It starts off tarry and black. With hard edges. Wilford of extract. Sense of violets emerge as the fruit gains purple richness. A day later, it feels cool with a Chaparral-like greenness and firm tannins. Wilford. And completely saturated by the fruit so they don't feel astringent. Best to cellar this. Wilford. Or give it plenty of time in a decanter if you open the bottle now. Wilford, none of that is like what you said. And then James Suckling.
Thank you very much. By the way, Wilford Wong is a douche. I provided this wine 92 of my points. And I wrote, a bright and balanced red with currant, plum, chocolate, and walnut aromas and flavors. Yes, I said walnut. Medium to full-bodied. I couldn't make up my mind. Fine tannin and a fresh finish. Pretty length pretty length and control to this?
Pretty length and control to this.
Yes.
I am a robot.
I wrote, reviewer. They edited my fucking review, damn it. I was eloquent. A blend of mostly Cabernet Sauvignon with some Merlot, Malbec, and Cabernet Franc. Drink. Or hold, just like I want you to do with me.
Wilford, nobody agrees with what you wrote. That means you're wrong, just to point that out.
Of course, James Suckling didn't write that much different.
He was dreaming of something with a fucking, from fucking Chile with a...
Walnut aromas.
Yeah, it's something hard. Yeah,
it's becoming like the standard thing. Drink or hold.
Drink or hold.
You can have it now, or it you need to cellar it.
One of the two.
Just one of the two.
What?
Or just dump it down the...
Haven't you watched my masterclass? You can drink something or not drink it.
You can hold it between drinks.
Yes. Or...
Drink it and hold it.
Yes.
Or drink it or hold it.
You've watched my class, then. That took 4 classes to teach that.
I'm trying to be certified.
I'm sorry, there's no certification available.
Damn it.
So, in the glass, it's a purple, reddish, opaque look. Dark. Dark. Like your soul, James Suckling.
Beautiful legs in the glass.
What is the alcohol in this? I know the 16 is 15, but I don't know what the 13 is. 14.5?
Yep. 14.5.
Mm-hmm. Black tar, American oak on the nose with blackberry. Not very French. Cassis. A touch, just the lightest whiff of menthol, but not very much. I'm sorry, I don't smell your walnut. I don't smell the walnuts. No.
You know what I get a little bit back there?
What's
a
that?
A little floral.
There is a little bit of jazzy floralness.
Yeah.
I hope that carries through in the palate.
It's just beyond, you get past that little mentholated alcohol.
Yeah.
It's right there in the background. Violet.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of a weird nose.
Nah, that's what I expected. Although I expected it more of Michael David than I expect of Franciscan Magnificent.
It's kind of a shallow nose. It's not the biggest
you're
nose.
You're right. It doesn't taste upscale. It smells upscale. It smells a little bit of like an earthquake Zinfandel would smell, or earthquake line, or something kitschy.
And where that floral comes in, it's like everything else is gone. And all of a sudden, it's like, what is that there? Oh, that's a little floral. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Let's go.
It doesn't
ahead.
Make me excited to drink.
No, no, no. It's not the best nose. Not
it's
the
a
best
weird
nose,
man.
Yeah. Let's go ahead. I'm a little scared.
It's a good looker in the glass, though.
My God. Oh. What was Wilford drinking? That's like, I just feel like I just drank a velvet robe that has tannin all over it.
Do one where you just quaff it and you don't draw a bunch of air over it. It is plush.
Very plush. Full body.
Wonderful. You know, it's full of dark fruit.
Yes.
But there's just kisses of sweetness there.
Yes.
It's not... It's like sweet plum. It's like...
It is sweet plum.
That's a beautiful fruit profile on this.
It is overtly fruity. I will say that. You're not going to mistake it for French Bordeaux. But you also probably shouldn't have drank it now. Although I have another bottle, so it's okay. Because this stuff is young. Sorry, Wilford. You're fucking wrong. This is young. Oh. Mm. Oh. Oh, boy. What? Okay.
This is really good.
It's very good. Now, it's very good in a very linear sense.
Yes. It's not. Go ahead.
Once I think it's too young to show complexity, but I don't think it's what it's designed to do. This is like the ultimate decadent steakhouse wine. It is decadent. Very decadent.
Nodding my head in
this. Now, the ZD is decadent. However, the ZD is vastly more complex.
Another layer.
Yeah. But this, on another level, especially, I bought it $35, which is an amazing deal. The backstrap of decadence in the fruit and the tannin and proper oak, American oak, I think, but well done American oak, is a wonderful expression of brutish Americanisms. It's so American. You might as well put some apple pie and American flag up its ass and just roll it down damn Independence Boulevard playing Lee Greenwood. That's how American this damn... But that's okay. It's American. It's unabashedly American style, Cali style.
But do not take that Lee Greenwood reference to mean that this is brutish or
slightly
backwards.
Brutish. It's not backwards. It knows exactly what it needs to be.
This is luscious. It is luscious. The mouthfeel on this is...
You know what? You realize, like Ménage à Trois and all those fucksticks, they think they're emulating something like this. And what they are emulating is a urine-soaked sweat sock. But
this is everything that that style of wine, all those shitty blended wines where they throw in Purple Death. This is luscious. This is...
It's a mouthfeel wine.
There's a certain... It doesn't have the flavor of dairy, but it has the mouthfeel of dairy.
It's creamy.
It has that creaminess, but it's even beyond that. It's almost like... whipped. It's almost like, you know, you have custard that's heavy, but then it's got that whipped texture to it.
See, you're probably pretty excited about this because you always have complained before that this Cali Cabernet isn't for as fruit forward as it should be able to, but this
is, and it has a mouthfeel that elevates this wine to places that other wines wish they could go.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, folks, $50 bottle of wine,
Yeah, yeah.
This is there.
It does that. I mean, this is what you, when you buy a $50 bottle of wine, this is what you think it should be like. It is the visualization of, what would a $50 bottle of this? Well, no. This tastes more like a $60 to $70 bottle of wine. But the mouthfeel anyway, the visceral response to that. Now, complexity, it doesn't show that quite yet. But with more time in the bottle, it will reveal far, far more. And it's going to be really good down the road.
And I'll be honest with you,
because I'm not going to touch that other bottle for another 5 to 7 years.
If I had to pick between complexity and superior, and I mean superior mouthfeel,
mm-hmm.
I'd go for the mouthfeel. I'm a sucker for that physical response. And let's be honest, this has great tannic structure, a great finish.
Really great tannic structure.
And it may not be complex at this point, but it's got great fruit structure, a nice mid palate. And I think there's some, even now, I think there's some leather, like saddle leather.
That's going to show.
But it's there now.
Well, yeah, but there's tobacco and saddle leather that's going to show as time goes on.
It might be a little tobacco now, but I think more of the leather's showing now.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there. And I think, as you're saying, it's going to show more in the future.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, to give James Suckling his proper, I think he has an apt description in that these are fine tannins. These aren't big, burly tannins. These aren't in-your-face tannins. They're fine tannins. And it really is a fresh-tasting finish.
I actually think that I think the wine and spirits, I'm not suggesting any of the scores in relation, but I think their description, probably sense of violets, but it starts off tarry and black with hard edges of extract. I think that is probably saturated fruit. That is probably the most apt description I see.
It's saturated fruit particularly.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, it really is. And it's medium to full. No, it's full. I mean, it's just a full bodied. Also, though, Scott.
This is one of those wines of the mouthfeel. You don't even care whether it's full bodied or not.
Listen to this. They offer a simple tannic structure. Well, that strengthens a chewiness of leather, tobacco, and a touch of cedar. Full-bodied, it's a ripe, bold, and brawny wine. Who wrote that?
Was that the enthusiast?
That was the enthusiast. What they're suggesting is that it's a slightly bit simplistic. And that's why they're... And I mean, right now, it is. But what's there is really, really good. And that I mean, you have to look at a wine... Kind of, you have to take it for what it is currently, right? But you also have to have the foresight to see what it will be.
And keep in mind, these folks are tasting this probably 3 years ago.
Oh, good God, yes.
Well, the Wolford Wong was October 2016.
Woo!
So we're tasting it 3 years in the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And how long have you had this? A year? So this was...
No, I've had it 2 or 3 years. Oh, 3 years. 3 years. Mm-hmm. Now, what was that year that I went to Tail the Whale?
What?
Remember?
One of your Outer Banks vacations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was that same night. We went to a great wine bar. I don't remember what it was called, but we went to a great wine bar, and I bought a couple of bottles of this there.
It was 2 summers ago, I think.
Was it? Because last summer, we had Williams. It was the summer before. So I've had it for 2 years. A little over 2 years.
Mm-hmm. What? This is, so I'm not going to call it spectacular. This is really, really good. And this.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. You don't often get this kind of expression until you spend. You don't get these type of chewy tannin. You don't get this kind of mouthfeel at $20, $15. You don't. You just do not. We can find other things that we enjoy in that price range, different styles, different visceral responses, whatnot. But you don't get this. This doesn't exist there. You don't get this at 25. I mean, you might get in the 30s occasionally, a really good one. But even then, this is something that's unique to the higher price ranges. Yeah. And occasionally, you just feel like a big tannic brute. And this is a tannic brute that has a little bit of pizzazz simply because it's a blend. And it has a little twinkle there. There is some jazziness in the fruit structure. There is some jazziness in the overall development of the wine. Along with that brutishness and that lovely, wonderful mouthfeel, that plush, exotic, rich, thick, decadent mouthfeel. That overall, you know what, enthusiast, you know, fuck you with your 88. That's your choice.
Missed the boat.
But I remember back in the day when an 88 was a thing. It's just not an 88 from the enthusiast because they gave Fryer Brothers an 88. This wine, in reality, is good.
Yeah.
Very good.
The mouthfeel of this, the velvety, this dairy, creamy texture.
Mm-hmm.
Is like when you go to a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
and there's pan sauces. There's your basic French pan sauce. And then there's that special chef that takes it to the next level. You know, whether it's how he treats the sauce with cream or how it's blended, or he's done something to emulsify the sauce so that it's got a different creamy texture. Maybe he's adding some egg yolk, whatever it is, whatever that trick is that he does. This is that elevated level of that chef that's taken that simple French pan sauce and taken it to the next level.
Mm-hmm. I almost pulled out a bottle of this on Friday night, but I did Turley instead. So, you know, hey.
And how does this compare to the Turley Cab?
Completely different.
Well, but quality-wise.
Turley Cab actually is a year newer, but the Turley Cab is not known for its big tannic structure. They are a very fruit-driven, silky, elegant style Cabernet. They're not like this at all. I mean, you wouldn't even recognize the same varietal. You know, slightly floral, but soft and very, very, very pleasing. But this is a brute. That's not a brute. This is lovely. So, folks, we're going to take a break to compose ourselves mostly. And then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So in tonight's potpourri, we're going to play a game that we love.
Love it.
And it's called Drink, Dump, Collect. We're going to have a list of wines. And Scott and I are going to discuss which ones we would drink now, which ones we would dump in the sink, and which ones we would collect. So it's like Sophie's Choice.
Total transparency. Who prepared this list?
I did.
Damn it. That means I'm screwed.
But then again, you can make up one if you want off the top of your head, too.
I'm not good at top of my head.
We know that. Or the bottom of your head.
Yeah.
So.
It depends. If I'm standing on my head, I'm good at the bottom of my head.
First one. Brica Grenache.
Mm. Mm.
Poggio a Tuffo. The Italian Cabernet from Tomasi. And then the last one. Thomas Goss Shiraz. This rattlesnake venom. That's a tough one.
Just say those again so I can think out loud.
Brica. Poggio a Tuffo. and Thomas Goss Shiraz.
I'm torn between the Brekka and the Thomas Goss as to which is the one you hold.
Well, you definitely don't drink either one of those now.
Although we love the Brekka now.
Well, yeah, but you, Thomas, not now, when we're both 80. But then again, at its price, the ageability on that is just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. I liked it vastly more than you did. But, And Pollo Tufo is just a good drinking wine. That would be my drink, by the way.
I'm going to dump it.
Oh.
I'm going to drink the Brekka.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to dump that one, and I'm going to hold the Thomas Goss.
And you don't even like the Thomas Goss.
But it was.
I'm going to dump Brekka, and I'm going to hold Thomas Goss, by the way.
But because you want to drink the Pulio, because it's more ready now.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've drank Brekka several times. I'm over it.
How dare you? We love Brekka.
I think, though, that you need to, like, create some sort of a Hannibal Lecter chamber to actually age the Thomas Goss in, because you don't want anybody to accidentally pull that out before it's ready.
Because it would...
It could kill someone.
Pair it with a fava bean and...
Yeah. It'd rip somebody's face off and end up in a frickin'
ambulance. Or top of your skull and just, you know...
Yeah.
Monkey brain it.
Here we go. Love Block Pinot Noir. You've never had that.
That you know of.
You've never had it. Martin Murray Sonoma Coast Pinot Noir.
Oh.
Or Flavium Mencia, which you had but then bought a second time, folks. He bought it to have on the show. Again. Go figure. Drink, dump, collect, Scott.
Exactly the order you presented them.
You're going to collect Flavium?
No. False. The other way around. You dump Flavium.
Yes, you dump Flavium.
Collect Love Block.
Yes, and you drink Martin Ray.
Yep.
No, the exact opposite of what you said.
Well.
You're really good at this.
Yeah.
Now,
Martin Ray, by the way.
Yeah.
That is really good.
It was really good.
It was really, really good.
It is.
And not that the... No, Love Block's the one you can put back. Not too long. How long do you think you can hold back the Love Block?
The current vintage?
5-6 years?
7 to 10.
You think?
That's not me. It's the Spectator.
Again, it's the Spectator.
They said 2033, I think. That's a lot, but...
What are you going to hold back?
A while. A good while.
5-7 years.
More than that, yeah, probably.
Okay.
It's that good. I mean, Scott, the nose on the Love Block is one of the best noses I've had. I mean, wines with good noses. The 15 Justin Cab, Rancho Zumbaco, Dry Creek Zen from 14. That was a good nose. Love Block, though, the most current vintage of Love Block eclipses all of those. And those are, you think, simple wines, but they just had really good noses. They just did. There's something else, and I just can't recall what it is off the top of my head, but those are three that I can think of right now. And that was one thing about the Zumbaco that we always forget. The nose on that wine was just great.
It does soften with aging.
Yeah, I drank all mine, so
I might have a couple bottles still left.
Well, good for you.
We had one the other night. It was fantastic, but the nose had softened a little bit.
The last grouping I have. Turley Napa Cabernet.
Okay.
This Franciscan Magnificent. And Duckhorn Merlot. Drink, dump, collect. Sophie's Choice.
The premium Duckhorn Merlot.
But they don't have a, I don't mean decoy.
That's what I'm saying.
Decoy. What the hell? Mondavi Coastal Merlot. Or
Turley Napa.
Yeah. What?
I'm not drinking that fucker Merlot.
Duckhorn? Idiot.
All right. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to collect this one.
Magnificent?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a homer, but okay. Go ahead.
I'll drink the Merlot and I'll dump the Turley.
Oh, you dump the Turley.
The Napa's not my favorite.
You drink. Well, you have to make sacrifices in life. So what I would do is,
I think the only other choice is to drink the Turley, because it's probably the more drink now of those three wines.
It is.
And then you have to dump one of the two that are more collectible.
And you collect the Duckhorn Merlot.
And you dump the Magnificat.
I would hate doing it, but I would do it.
It'd be a tough choice. I don't. Merlot's not my favorite varietal.
It is your favorite varietal. You just pretend like you don't like it because you think that makes you cool.
No, because I don't want to drink that fucking Merlot.
Oh, because you want to quote a movie. A mediocre movie at that.
It's a great movie.
I know.
You've never seen it all. You don't even know how it ends.
I know how it ends. I've read it on Wikipedia.
You've never even seen the motorcycle helmet scene.
I have, actually. I YouTubed that.
It's a fucking great scene.
No.
Yeah.
You know what's a better scene?
Mm.
The scene in Roadhouse where Patrick Swayze rips the guy's throat out when they're fighting by the pond. That's better.
There's not a single scene in Roadhouse that holds fucking bears.
It's a great movie.
Ball sack.
Why do you have to use the term ball sack?
Show you how much I disagree with you.
Let me put out another one. There's so many great scenes.
You going to make an Avengers reference?
No, I'm talking about Roadhouse right now.
Why don't you make an Avengers reference?
Because one's a superhero movie. The other two are proper art house movies. So, yeah, apples to apples, Scott.
Do you still have the video of Patrick Swayze diving over where you can see his junk down in the pool? You still have that video?
What pool?
Oh, my God.
There's no pool in that movie. There's a pond. Now,
we got a pool. A pond's good for you.
There's a scene where, there's multiple scenes where he and Kelly Lynch are.
It's in the filming of the movie.
I didn't see his dick.
Oh my God.
I'll go back and rewatch it. Trust me. But
I know you will. Just looking for that.
Yeah. I didn't see it.
Gross bastard.
I didn't see it. I'm not sure which. You probably bought the deluxe edition. The I want to see Patrick Swayze's dick edition.
It's an infamous picture, son.
I've never seen it. It's so infamous. I've never seen it. I've never Googled Patrick Swayze's dick.
No, you don't.
Apparently you have.
People talk about it.
Which people do you know?
People that love
Patrick Swayze's dick.
Not me. You love him. Obviously, you don't love him that much.
But I know. But who have you discussed Patrick Swayze's dick with that you found out about this stuff? Well, I mean, yes, but you discussed that. You mouthed a person's name.
Yeah, that person brought it up.
But you discussed. Why would you and this person be discussing a man's penis?
They bring it up.
Why would they bring it up? I've never been in a conversation where someone starts talking about some dude's dick. I've never been
that person?
I've had you do that, which is curious.
Now I did.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
It was somebody else's conversation.
And I'm sure you've done it before, too. You always drop that random, I want to talk about this man's dick.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Of course I do.
It's awkward for me.
What, your dick?
No, you talking about other men's penises.
I don't talk about other.
You just did. You're talking about Patrick Swayze's dick, about some non-existent scene in Roadhouse that doesn't exist.
No, I didn't talk about a scene in Roadhouse. I talked about
a
video.
What video? There's another
filming of Roadhouse.
Well, he never jumped in a pool in Roadhouse.
Just Google it, son.
I don't want to see his dick. Obviously, you have.
Actually, why don't you? You were going to rewatch the movie just to look for it.
Well, I'm just going to rewatch the movie just to look for Roadhouse. Awesomeness.
What are you going to look for?
I know it's not there.
What are you going to look for?
Why don't you describe his penis right now? So I'll draw it.
Don't care.
Here, I'm going to draw it right here. Does it look kind of like this?
At least I'm not drawing another man's penis, you fuck.
I'm not drawing another man's penis. I'm drawing Patrick Swayze, and he's dead.
Rest
it kind of look like this.
Let's tie that into a wine story. What was he drinking when the plane went down?
Is that just a look like this? Chimney rock.
Right.
Here, look at it. Maybe you need to look at it more up close. You're used to that view. How's that? I drew in the pubes too, okay? Can you see it? Can you see his dick? Is that what it looked like?
That's it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's not anatomically correct. Let me just draw this again here. There we go. Okay, now it's got the pee hole in it. Okay, take a look. Is that the dick you saw? Okay. All right. I'm glad that we can
figure you love it out. Roadhouse.
Yeah, I just never seen that.
I know.
I hope his dick didn't look like that. That's a terrible looking dick. I'm going to scribble that out. No one will ever know what I drew on that piece of paper now. Anyway, folks.
Except our listeners and me.
Yes. I wanted you to identify the dick. You saw it. I have not seen the dick. I'm not looking for it.
I never said I watched this video.
Well, you said, watch the video, as if you saw it.
No. I just said you should watch the video.
What video? It's not in Roadhouse. Not that I looked that close for his dick, but still.
Never said it was in Roadhouse. It's from during the filming of Roadhouse.
How would I find bootleg videos of fucking during the filming of Roadhouse? How would you find that?
Ask that person.
Ask what? Well, how? I don't know. I don't know how you get in conversations where you start talking about Patrick Swayze's rogue penis from some dark web video of supposedly him jumping in a fucking pool in a movie where there's no fucking pool.
This is a person who's been at your house. This person hasn't been in my house.
Well, not your current house, but they've been at a house that you've lived at.
Not that I owned.
Well, let's not get technical here. Nevertheless.
Not true.
Nevertheless. I don't know how you have these conversations. I don't know how you know that Patrick Swayze has his dick swinging in some damn picture, but it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, folks.
Well, you saw the Demi Moore movie.
What Demi Moore movie?
The pottery scene.
Okay.
Inspired it all.
What's that have to do with it? That's not Roadhouse. Ghost?
Yeah.
I never really watched Ghost. Sorry, I didn't like it.
Because you knew Patrick Swayze's dick wasn't involved.
Wasn't it?
Other than the symbolism.
The symbol? Oh, because of the pottery thing?
The pottery thing.
I thought, you like Aaron Neville, though, so you probably love that shit.
I like the Neville Brothers Christmas album.
I don't know which is worse. You knowing videos of Patrick Swayze's dick or liking Aaron Neville's Christmas
album? At least I didn't draw a picture of Patrick Swayze's dick.
I'm going to now draw a picture of Aaron Neville's dick. Okay, here we go.
You're a sick and twisted bastard.
All right.
Folks, Rob is suffering from I'm not getting what I want for my birthday sickness, and please, we're taking up a collection. So, Venmo.
Does that look like Aaron Neville's dick?
Pantheon.
Just asking you. Does it? Look at it, damn it. Look at the dick.
Patreon us. Do something. Rob needs a birthday present. And I think it is a picture of Patrick Swayze's dick. It's what he needs.
Here. Does this look like I added detail. Is that more like it?
What the fuck is wrong with you? I pray to God this never airs.
Oh, it's going to air. So, folks, we're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. Folks, have you ever sat back and thought how you first heard of the Wine Vault? Well, we need your help reaching more listeners. What you can do is go to iTunes, give us a review, give us 5 stars, give us your thoughts and feedback.
So only with your help, folks, will more people learn about, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, the 2013 Franciscan Magnificent from Napa Valley. We're going to go over to Scott, who has an infatuation for Patrick Swayze's
penis. Off air, Rob was looking for pictures of Patrick Swayze's penis.
And guess what I did not find? I wasn't looking that thoroughly. But still, I did not find the pictures that Scott was referring
lies
to.
Lies are lies!
So, they must not exist except for his little whatever world he lives in.
One person has them. Posted on their wall.
Posted on their wall, folks.
Mm-hmm. Blown up.
Blown up.
What are you going to do?
That person's name is Scott. So, Scott.
No.
I'm pretty sure he has. Go ahead. What's the review?
My main crush involves soccer players. Not actors.
Doesn't help much.
Well, hey. We have our vices.
No, we don't all share. Okay, yes, Scott, we all.
You do have vices.
Who, Jeb Dunnick? Yes, of course.
You do.
That's different.
Well, he does have great hair.
And fantastic hair, man.
He does have great hair.
Gosh.
Oh, I wasn't ready to score this wine, I'll be honest with you. What a mouthfeel. I'm a sucker for mouthfeel. 3 years in the bottle. Approximately. Yeah.
Just helping you, give you some visual aids.
In the 2017 Martin Ray Pinot Noir. Oh, we're not reviewing that. Franciscan Estates, Napa Valley Magnificat. Meritage. Love it. Between a 92 and a 93. I think I'm going to go 92. Love the mouthfeel. It's always a little more difficult to review a wine that has a little age on it. To some degree, it's
very little
not,
age.
Not necessarily fair, per se. For example, we're comparing our review now that's 3 years old to Wilfred Wong, James Suckling, and
I would like to point out you agreed with my review.
There it is.
Third. And also, I actually do have pictures of Patrick Swayze's penis. But
are a man of means.
I will show you those off air, Scott. We can discuss them.
I knew you had those pictures.
Yes.
Speaking of elevated mouthfeel. No, I think this has life to it yet. You could probably go another 5, 6, 7 years. Yet.
Easily.
Beautiful tannins. It's not the most complex wine.
No.
But this is a wine that is worthy of the price point and probably beyond. We didn't really play the price game. If you had this now and knew it was a 6-year-old wine, what's the price point? You would say, yeah, I get it. This is worth it. And it's more than 50.
Oh, yeah.
75, 100? I don't know.
This 75,
is,
yeah.
This
yeah.
is surely better than that piece of shit I bought in Vegas for 110.
Gergich. Well, let me say this. If it's worth 50 and it costs 50, that's a really good wine. And over the weekend, by the way, I had the opportunity. We were at tastings again.
Oh,
yes.
I didn't know you went to tastings.
Yes, that's. I had several wines. I had the Benzinger, Cabernet, but I didn't have it at tastings. I had that at Arch City Tavern.
By the way, folks, tastings is a wine bar where they have bottle aging processes where you can. You put money in a card, and then you can go around and get a variety of pours at, I think as little as 2 ounce, 3 ounce, and full glass pour
mm-hmm.
for a set price on what you know, the wine is based on. And they do a decent job. You know, it's somewhat...
Well, if you have, if you're on CO2 too long, you get a little bit of an apple-y funk to it.
And like, but, for example, we had a bottle of Heights there that was spent. But other than that, you know, we really haven't had a problem there. And it's a great spin on a wine tasting bar. You know,
it is.
They invest in the technology to keep the wine good.
Well, I was out with my buddies, Matt and Adam. And we went over there to Matt's protest. But... I have a funny story to tell off air to Scott, but nevertheless, I did, Martin Ray Napa Cabernet.
Oh, Pleasant. Interesting. After we just recently had the Martin Ray people. Mm-hmm.
On purpose. I had, Le Cole Columbia Valley Merlot, but I've had that there before too, simply because they have a ridiculously good price on it. I've always enjoyed that. But the last one I had was Heights Grigolio. Grigiolio?
An Italian blend? What is that?
It's Italian varietal from Piedmont, I believe. But basically, it tastes like strawberry juice. It's borderline rosé, light-bodied. It's not what I expected it to be, and it kind of shocked the shit out of me. Very rarely do I get the shit shocked out of me. I've never had a Grigiolio before, but not what I would ever drink again. But... now that I've departed from the event, I do appreciate it a little bit more. But after that, we dropped Matthew off at the parking garage. And Adam and I went off to the Avenue in the Grandview. And I had beef tartare with a quail egg. And Adam had a shrimp cocktail. But as a glass pour, they had...
You made a fucking night of it, son.
Yeah, well, we don't screw around. Adam and I both had a glass of... Coppola's Director's Cut, not Director's, Director's Cut, Alexander Valley Cabernet for $13 a glass, which isn't bad. It's a $30 bottle of wine. Really good. And obviously the beef tartare was really good.
Quail egg.
Oh, yes. That was really a really good experience, but we had fun. It's nice to do that occasionally, just to go out. And, but I think that restaurant, though, is good for its apps. Like, you've mentioned that you've gone to the bar and eaten at the bar.
Just had the apps.
Yeah, yeah, that's what, yeah, yeah. I don't know if I'd do Arch City again. It was fine, but
no.
We did, both Adam and I got Brussels sprouts as sides. The fuckers deep the fuck fried those things.
That's an...
And you take a bite into it, you just taste peanut oil. You're like,
yeah, it's a cheap way to get in the crispy texture when you don't want to... pan saute it. And
yeah,
do
I can
it right.
I can do that really easily. Slice it kind of thin.
Oh, it's
with some olive oil and a little bit of butter. Get the pan nice and hot, and then you know what you do? You get them a little bit crispy. Throw some crumbled blue cheese in that thing. That's what you do. But you don't do that bullshit. It's like, what the hell? It's like I can just feel my arteries hardening. But that's that was a nice little weekend. No, I just want to throw that in.
So back to the review of the wine.
Oh yeah, yeah. 292s though. Hall of Fame.
92, elevated mouthfeel, creamy texture, wonderful oaking.
Yep.
Fruit structure that is distinctly California, but wonderful. You can pull out four or five different things. Black fruit, but also some red fruit.
Yeah.
Little leather. You thought... tobacco. I didn't get the tobacco.
It
but
will be tobacco. I don't taste tobacco currently, no.
I couldn't recommend a $50 bottle of wine more than this.
And by the way, I also kind of revealed it. I'm also giving it a 92 as well. And it's one of those things, it's unabashedly Californian, but it is a wonderful example of Californian red blends. But that's a style. But it's a good example of that.
Good example. Let's break this down a little more. What's a better California red blend we've had on the show?
That I've had on the show?
On the show.
Do you mean the same blend. Varietals exactly, or just
a general? Red blend in general? I'm not talking a
Acorn
Zin
Medley.
A Zin that had Petit Sirah.
Acorn Medley is probably better.
Where is that at?
It's third level up.
92, 91.
Yeah.
Same price range. Is it better than this?
It's more complex. See, that's okay. The thing.
Right on.
This is more fun.
Did it have the mouthfeel that this
has? No. But it was more complex. This is a little more fun. The Triple B would like that better than this.
What is the blend on that Acorn Medley?
Ooh, you asked me too quickly. I believe it has Syrah.
It's Cab, though.
No, they don't make Cab at Acorn. It is Syrah, Cab Franc, and Zinfandel, I think.
Interesting.
Maybe a little Dolcetto.
That's completely different and not even in the wheelhouse of this.
Yeah.
But score-wise, you're kind of...
Sixapage, actually, is the most apt comparison because it is a similar varietal blend.
Okay.
Although it's 5, this is 4 because it has Petit Verdot in it. But that's actually... And also for winery to winery, well... it's in Sonoma, Chateau Saint-Jean Sonoma, but that's actually a pretty decent comp.
Comparison point.
Yeah. Now, the only, I've had more fresh, newer Chateau Saint-Jean Cinque-Sapages, but they are similar to this in many regards in a lot of the different styles. But a lot of these Cinque-Sapages I've had are grand Cinque-Sapages. So you're historically good, all from the 90s. And so have you. So I've had 96, 99, and 97. And so have you. I have 08 and 010.
That's a different animal.
Yeah, those are classics.
And what would...
But this could be very, very good up at
what
similar...
What would this be at that age?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, those had a lot of age on them. Now, I don't know this would go that long, but if you went 7 to 10 years on this, what would this be? It could be something.
You've got another held back, and it sounds like that's where you're going to go with it.
I am going to go with that. I'm going to hold all of them, the 14 and the 13, for quite a long time.
That and your pictures of Patrick Swayze's cock.
I don't have that, but I'll find it for you.
You were looking off air quite vehemently.
I failed. Yeah. I didn't even get a random picture of a dick. There's nothing.
You just got to go deeper, son.
I'm okay.
You know the person that you can contact to get that.
You.
No.
I think you have them.
Not true.
I think, yeah.
You know where to go. That person's been in your house.
I got you.
You can bring them back.
I'll tell you a story off air that'll make you feel more comfortable. So.
I feel quite comfortable.
That's good. That's positive. So, 292 is a Hall of Fame.
And Patrick Swayze's dick.
Yes. So, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi
and
Driver.
And Patrick Swayze's dick.
Yes. We're all, including his dick, going to bid you adieu.
Adieu.
And see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.